The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for True Crime News. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where they scored a touchdown with 1 second left. Your only chance then is to pick up an onside kick and run with it for a touchdown. Don't you have to kick a field goal and then do an onside kick and try? The end of that game was butchered beyond belief. Yes, the game was pretty much over. I get it. But that game wasn't competitive. It was a 10-point game, and it was a 17-point game, and they were done. Was it 28-3 at one point? You know about Cleveland, you know about Kansas City, and you know about Buffalo. That's why they set a record. Tomlin's defense has set an NFL record most consecutive playoff games, giving up 40 points. So let's not give it the benefit of the doubt here of just being a playoff drought. Let's not lighten it by saying, oh yeah, the Steelers haven't won a playoff game in 7 years. No. They haven't been competitive in a playoff game in 7 years, haven't been competitive in one. Next.
All right, let's go to Bob in Brackenridge.
Hey, Bob.
Just want to echo what people are saying. This is so frustrating living in this town. I remember the Chief and Dan. Second place was the first loser. We have, and those were football guys, and they expected and demanded accountability in winning. You have an attorney owner now who's more worried about legal ramifications and a Rooney rule where he says, I can't believe people are upset because we are happy that we play meaningful games in December. That's not made up. Art Rooney said he's happy they played meaningful games in December. You say not competitive in the playoff game for 8 years. He has 3 playoff wins in 15 years. This is absolutely a joke. And if anybody says anything about Tomlin, we don't know what we're talking about. So when do we get tired of getting our butts whooped in the playoffs if you even do make it? And when is accountability going to land at the lap of the defensive guru who gets smoked every year when it matters by teams that know how to scheme and play? You said it earlier. That game yesterday was out-schemed. He literally said at halftime, we're not worried about schemes. We got to make plays. He's a stubborn guy. He does not know how to adapt. He does not know how to coach. When is enough enough? Or are we going to keep making excuses for this guy?
I mean, you will acknowledge this. Is he still there? You will acknowledge while I agree with much of what you said there, it's hard to fire a coach. Let's say they win 11 games.
No, it's not.
It is hard to do that. How many 11 win coaches get fired?
Do you think Dan Rooney and the Chief would have 8 years of getting your butt smacked and 3 playoff wins in 15 years?
I mean, Dan Rooney extended Cowher after consecutive losing seasons. So yeah, I do. I do actually think he would.
Consecutive losing seasons. You leave no
room for any discussion. Even though I agree largely. What if they win a playoff game?
The Rooney rule has Tomlin in place. Fire him.
He's
not adequate.
He's got one of the best records in the history of the league. Okay, so, right. So I think I know where you're coming from. Yeah, I think I know where he's coming from. There's obviously a discussion to be had here. And then the discussion is, if they win merely one playoff game, does that solve everybody's issues?
I mean, I would suppose if you somehow beat Buffalo or Baltimore, maybe. But I don't think people are going to be that excited if you go into Houston and win, because they would say that the Texans aren't that great of a team. I think it might depend on who you beat. I think if you go to Buffalo and win, then that's a big deal. That's a, you know, that's the story in the entire NFL that weekend. If you go to Houston and win, I don't think that's a major accomplishment. Even though it is winning a playoff game, that's probably the easiest path that you would potentially have.
More calls coming up next. Can't wait. 412-928-9370. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. 0% financing on all 2024 Chevy EV models. Up to 60 months through January 3rd with credit through GM Financial. A mix of clouds and sun today, a high of 47. Fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. The question is the standard here. I mean, when you make it sound like Mike Tomlin has done a horrendous job, it's just, or when you say he should have been fired 13 years ago after the Steelers went back to back 12-4 and went to a Super Bowl, that's ridiculous. By NFL standards, he's doing a job that would be good enough in probably 25 other cities, which is double-digit wins and about half the time getting to the playoffs. The question, is it good enough here? So, you know, to make him sound like he's done nothing and is doing nothing by NFL standards is just not factual. But is he adhering to the standard of this organization? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I'm getting to the point where I do think it's time to move on. It's just, it's not easy for me to say fire a guy who is succeeding by a lot of measures. You know what I mean? It is. It's not that easy. People want to make it easy. I sat across from Andrew Filippone here last week. We were debating. He was saying that winning the division, if they beat Baltimore, was good enough. That's a successful season. But he also said, well, you're saying it wouldn't be a successful season if they won the division and lost in the playoffs. Every year you say, you know, is this the year for Tomlin? Is Tomlin on the hot seat? That's because it's complicated. It's not that simple. You know, Andrew wanted to trade him to Washington 5 years ago. Maybe that was the best route to take. I don't know. It's not that easy of a situation for me.
I think a lot of fans would be fine with losing seasons here and there if it somehow translated to more postseason success or more great seasons.
Right. And Ron Cook, on his way out the door last year, wrote that it might be mutually beneficial. And I agreed with that. And there was talk this time last year of, would it be best for everybody if Mike Tomlin moved on, including him? Meantime, other people will say, you're sitting here at 10-6, headed to the playoffs, you know, again, 25 other markets might be very happy with that. So it's, at least to me, it's a more complicated conversation, as I open the show with, than listening to, you know, the Jason LaConforas of the world say this is an all-time legend and a, you know, a miracle worker. And then at the other end, you have people saying he should have been fired 13 years ago. There's a conversation to be had somewhere in between that, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Fan weather. Brought to you by Sun Chevy, 0% financing on all 2024 Chevy EV models. All right, we'll get to more of your calls, continue that conversation, do a little report card next on the Pomp and Joe Show.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Justice isn't just a word, it's your right. We'll stand up for you when others can't. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
Somebody pointed out that teams have fired. I didn't say they never did. I said it's tough to just fire a coach who's getting double-digit wins and going to the playoffs, that there's a conversation to be had. It's not as easy as just get rid of him. Pointed out Marty Schottenheimer was an 11-win, actually a 14-win coach that got fired. Remember that In 2006, they fired Schottenheimer at the height of the Tomlinson-Rivers era in then San Diego. They did. They fired him. After a 14-2 season, they got upset in the wild card game. I think I covered that game. I think that was the Jets game. And then the Jets came here and Doug Bryan missed field goals, or Bill Cowher's team would have lost in the first round. So out goes Schottenheimer, in comes Norv Turner, and they got a little bump from Turner. They won a couple playoff games the next year, but they couldn't get past the Patriots, just like Schottenheimer. And since that move, the Chargers have won 5 playoff games in 20 years. And of course, have famously only been to 1 Super Bowl, where they got their doors blown off, and that was before those guys ever got there. So yeah, they got a small bump from that, but you know, they've never been where you want to go either. 5 playoff wins in 20 years and no trip to the Super Bowl for the Chargers. Listen, I'm still also giving this season a chance. I think I'd be foolish not to. They have a chance. He has a chance to regroup here, get healthy. I think they'll beat the Bengals in the final game, and then let's see if they can win a playoff game. And I do think it's a big deal. I think winning 1 playoff game would be a big blanking deal. There's no conversation on what's bigger, winning a division or winning a playoff game. That's not even a conversation. That's like I did good on my social studies test at the end of October, but I failed the final, or vice versa. I failed that one on, you know, the Gettysburg Address, that pop quiz on the Gettysburg Address back in October, but I aced the final. Or at least one of my finals. You know, you could still fail after that, I suppose, in the divisional round of the championship game. I'm not predicting that, but I'm going to watch the rest of the season. I don't think necessarily the season's done. If I were to bet, however, right now, if I were to bet, are the Steelers going to win a playoff game? I would say no. How about you, Sean? If I told you I had to bet everything you own, including those beautiful headphones you have, whether the Steelers win a playoff game, would you bet they'd win or lose?
Not knowing the opponent. I'm going to say it's more likely they lose. That would be my bet.
All right, I'll give you opponents.
Okay.
Ravens on the road.
Lose.
Chargers. Well, no. Wait a second. Who are the prospective opponents?
Baltimore,
right,
Buffalo, and Houston, I believe. Because the Steelers... Well, I guess the Steelers could win... Man, the division still.
They could, even though the Browns have quit. And there's one guy on there who told me, stop harping on the Browns game. The Ravens lost to them too. No, I'll never stop harping on that game. I don't care what the Ravens did. The Ravens made up for it, and now they're in first place. What are you talking about? Plus, they had that game won, and Kyle Hamilton dropped an easy interception right in his hands. But the real point is, that hasn't affected the Ravens, has it? It's affected the Steelers, and the Browns haven't won a game since. That was one of the worst losses of Mike Tomlin's career because of the way he coached that game. And the decision to have a frozen quarterback come in and throw a pass with the game on the line instead of your red-hot starter at the time was one of the most mind-boggling, ridiculous decisions in Tomlin's coaching history. So thank you, Jason, or whatever your name was, who tells me to stop harping on the Browns game. I might open every show with it for the next 365 days in your honor because it was that ridiculous. That team was ready to quit. They haven't won a game since. They're falling apart. Their quarterback got benched after that, after what he did to the Steelers that night. It was an unforgivable loss. So let's dedicate the rest of the show to him, shall we? Whoever that guy was.
What was his name? Jason or something?
I don't know what his name was. Merry day after Christmas, although it's rather depressing right now in the sports world. Fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Did anybody find that Skeens card? Was it under anybody's tree yesterday? Have you seen a story?
It wasn't under my tree. No, I haven't seen anything about that yet. Maybe it's they don't want the public to know because they would be hounded by people come. It's like if you win the, you know, billion-dollar lottery, sometimes you kind of
play it cool. Somebody must know. Something just seems off with this whole thing. You know what I mean? Like, so everybody got bought all these packs of cards on the idea that it wasn't found yet, and now it's still not found on Christmas. And shouldn't we know? Not who found it, but if it was found, so we don't continue to buy up packs looking for it? Sean?
Yeah, I'm looking now, and I don't see, I guess there are some other big Skeens cards that have been pulled, but not the elusive one. Doesn't look like anyone has
Let's
claimed
hit the
that
phones,
yet.
Please.
All right, we'll go out to Connellsville to hear from Chris.
Hey, Chris, what's up?
Hey, guys, how are you doing today?
Good.
So, two takeaways I've seen from yesterday's game was, one, George Pickens is really starting to remind me of Antonio Brown. You know, he's getting upset. He's not getting the ball. They're ripping his helmet off. You know, if Bill Carr was coached still, he'd got pulled out of that game quick.
Here's what I would say to that. You're right. Well, I don't know if Bill Cowher was – come on. Bill Cowher had his own problems and appeased players left and right like Plaxico Burress, who was late to meetings all the time. So I'm not going with that comparison. But George Pickens, that act is getting real tired. That act is getting really tired. And here's what I would say is that his obvious importance, which was accentuated the past couple weeks, might only make that worse. Might make it worse, but go ahead with your second point.
So the other thing I noticed was I haven't been to a home game in a long time where the crowd got taken out in the third quarter like that, where you could definitely hear Mahomes' cadence every snap.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Man, I'll say, I think people were filing out by Renegade. Maybe a better choice at that point would have been Silent Night, Sean.
Did you hear? I think it was our colleague Jack Hillgrove maybe that asked Tomlin the question about, you know, was that something that anyone noticed that all the fans were filing out in the fourth quarter? And of course he said no, we were focused on what was happening on the field or whatever. But yeah, that was a rare sight for a Steelers game to have people pretty much know the entire fourth quarter was inconsequential.
It was a really, really bad day in that stadium. One of the worst, I would say. You know, not the worst, but one of the worst in the regular season in terms of just sheer frustration, sheer depression, you know, the realization. You know what it reminded me of was the 49ers game. Was it last year at the beginning
of the year? That was the season opener last year, yep.
Because it just showed you, oh, we're not that.
Yeah, all that optimism quickly went out the door after that game.
Right off the top, the heavyweight or one of the heavyweight contenders let you know you could go on to win 9-10 games, whatever you want to do this season, you ain't us. And the Chiefs let the Steelers know that, you know, yesterday. It was such a grotesque mismatch. What else was unusual besides the crowd filing out was people piping up after the game. Let's listen to a little bit of Deshaun Elliott. You got your beeps ready, Sean?
Yeah, we'll get the sensors out, but let's find Deshaun Elliott here. There was a lot of very interesting comments, I would say. He had one of them, so here we go.
First off, guys can't be f***ing wide open. That's the first thing. Just do your job, you know? We communicated, guys weren't doing their freaking job, so... Yeah. Let's get back to the drawing board. It's week 18. We shouldn't be having these problems in week 18. This is a week one, week two problem. So I don't know where we went down the line, started becoming a whole different defense than what we were. But we got to get back to who we are.
Like I said, last week I'll partially overlook it because I think any team, if you take out three quarters of their secondary, a starting defensive lineman and their star linebacker is at half speed, you're going to have problems against Lamar Jackson. But, man, they were back. These guys were back and on the field. Although TJ didn't look like himself again, did he? If he's not right for the playoffs, a team that's already in big trouble has no chance Do you agree with that?
Yeah, and you brought up the point a couple days ago how it was kind of weird how the Steelers deployed some guys who were banged up against Baltimore, not others who maybe could have played. You have to wonder if that was maybe to the detriment of T.J. Watt playing in that game, and it would they been better off just having him sit these two games?
Yes.
I know you think if we win against Baltimore, we can then...
Right.
But it didn't play out like that, and it backfired.
I think Tomlin wanted to have it both ways. It would be like if you... I don't know what the analogy is. What's the analogy to
have your cake and eat it too?
Have your cake and eat it too. Is it lottery tickets? If you bought a couple? I don't know what it is, but... He wanted to have his hand in both piles. He wanted to play TJ in that game and put Joey Porter, and obviously injured Joey Porter went back in that game, while he was simultaneously clearly saving guys for this game. Obviously, if that Baltimore game had been a playoff game, I think a lot of these guys would have played, including Pickens. I think Tomlin held off. I think his philosophy was, I'm going to give myself a decent chance to win both, or either, instead of the best chance, put all my, that's it, putting all his eggs in one basket. He put 6 in one basket and 4 in the other. I mean, 12 in the other. I mean, 6 in the other to add up for 12.
He got Easter and Christmas confused, I guess.
Yeah, it's clearly so did I in that case.
If they had played everyone, Pickens, Elliott, and I do believe those guys were nowhere close to 100%. So you understand why, you know, maybe they said, well, this guy's slightly more at risk for re-aggravation than maybe T.J. Watt was, for instance. But if you find a way to get everyone in that Baltimore game and win it, then you have the luxury that right. You don't have to worry about playing these guys against the Chiefs, because for all intents and purposes, that game has much less meaning.
Yeah.
And now you have to have everyone all hands on deck for this upcoming game. There was talk a few weeks ago, well, they could rest against Cincinnati if things play out well. Not the case.
Well, that's an interesting question, too, Sean. Don't call me Seth Meyers. I mean, what are the odds that they win and Cleveland loses? Do you now just rest guys?
I think the difference is...
Who are clearly injured?
It's not just about the Ravens at this point, though, right? Because you could drop down, depending on what the Chargers and Broncos do, into a matchup where you head to Buffalo. I think you want to keep that number 5 spot.
But keep that 5 spot at what cost? See, I don't know. I don't know what's happening with TJ. I don't. But every single person listening to this show, and you and I know that that is not him. A guy getting single blocked by anybody. You saw him in the Philly game getting single blocked sometimes by one of the best tackles in football. And he destroyed the guy. So please don't tell me that we think he's anywhere near full strength. Now, I just don't know what. Does rest do him a lot of good at this point? Or is it the type of thing where, listen, you're injured, this injury won't get worse, but it also won't get better with rest, that type of thing? I don't know, man. But with T.J. Watt looking like a mortal, I don't think they have much of a shot to beat anybody, to be honest with you. He's that important.
Yeah, and I don't know if you want to hear Patrick Queen, too. He had a clip
and
that
oh,
I
yeah,
was
well, that's the other part of that, Deshaun Elliott, was, you know, again, last week, you have all these moving parts. You could sort of see why they'd be disorganized at times. Not so this week. This was a disaster. And I'm not even sure, you know, how much of it was player malfunction and how much was players not being adequately prepared by their coaches. I think that's a pretty good question. But it was a disaster from the jump. Let's hear Patrick Queen. And Cam Sutton's not very good.
Can I see my fly today?
Yep.
And what's the explanation for that?
No explanation. Came off late.
How do you kind of explain just the slump you guys have been in as a defense, especially the last 3 weeks?
Can't explain it. It's happening. And we keep talking about it and nobody doing anything about it. So I don't know.
How frustrating is it that it feels like nobody's doing anything about
it? It's frustrating.
I don't think he's lived up to his billing either, to be honest. Patrick Queen's been okay. He's had some really good moments. The first Ravens game, he made some big plays. He's been a disappointment, a mild disappointment. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and I think, what was it, Rob Long that raised the question, what big plays has he made? He's making tackles, but is he making big plays? And that was a game yesterday where the Steelers desperately needed a big play, And correct me if I'm wrong, he was the player who dropped what could have been a massive interception that could have swung the game, right?
Yes.
I mean, they get that interception, maybe the game turns out different. Maybe not. Who knows? But the Steelers did run the football well. You got the feeling.
I got the feeling that Kansas City was in rope-a-dope mode where, yeah, if you want to gain some yards on the ground, go ahead. Plus, I would argue this, Sean, they got like 60 yards on the ground on that last meaningless drive. That's when Najee did all his work, right?
Is it fair to say in a game against a team like Kansas City, the Steelers probably have to either have the lead early or at least be on even terms?
Yes.
Because the second that they fall behind by multiple scores, I don't think this team's going to have it to come back, even with George Pickens playing against good teams.
Or sort of playing like he was yesterday. Here's the other thing. Jaylen Warren's the best running back on this team and needs to get the ball, period. It's time for Jaylen Warren to have a 20-25 carry game and to be treated like he's a number one running back, because that's what he is on this team. Najee, for a lot of the game yesterday, looked painfully slow, unable to elude even one defender. I remember in particular a pass down by the goal line, quick swing pass. Dan Moore didn't have a great block, but you got one guy to beat and he tackles you. He just looked really slow. Jaylen Warren's the best running back on this team, and they need to go into a game determined to feed him the ball 20 to 25 times. Agree or disagree?
They're more determined to get Cordarrelle Patterson a random third down carry.
Oh, third and two. The Artie infatuation with Cordarrelle Patterson is just mind-blowing. And I know he made a great catch last week, but come on, Artie. Here's a stat for you. The Steelers have played 8 times against teams currently in playoff position. Atlanta, Denver, the Chargers, Washington, Baltimore twice, Philly and Kansas City. What are they averaging points per game? I'll tell you when we come back, Sean.
That's a great tease.
Yeah, this one, I'll just say this. It's the type of number that got Matt Canada fired. So, you know, kind of like Indiana in college football, except this isn't college football. You best judge a team on who they are when they're playing other good people, as Mike Tomlin likes to say. And he said on this Netflix thing, about 8,000 times, we love to play good people. I'd rather play bad people and take my chances in the playoffs, because I'm not sure the Steelers are one of the good peoples here. They seem to be a slightly above mediocre people in the NFL. All right. 50-minute mark coming up, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. I'm taking you right up to just before noon when we get ready for Pitt's bowl game. Going to be moving aside for our pregame, the Game Above Sports Bowl, Pitt-Toledo coming up. We're going to be getting you ready for that starting at noon. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Fan Weather brought to you by Sun Chevy, 0% financing on all 2024 Chevy EV models up to 60 months through January 3rd with credit through GM Financial. Mix of clouds and sun today? I hope some sun. A high of 47. All right, I'll go through the grades very quickly if that's what you'd like me to do. I'll follow along with Ray Fittipaldo, and you may too. Quarterback, Russell Wilson, ill-timed turnovers, blah, blah, blah. He gets an F. We got to go quick.
D.
I'll say, yeah, D plus. Some of it was on him. A lot of it's not. His offensive line stinks. By the way, Omar Khan apparently has done a lousy job fortifying two areas we all knew were issues coming into the season: receiver and secondary. Deshaun Elliott, very good. Corners, not so much. Cam Sutton, not so much. Dante Jackson, nice with the interceptions, but when they play good teams, there seems to be some issues. Running backs, a C.
B minus.
I don't know. What did they actually? Najee was a little slow. Yeah, I'll go B. I'll go B minus. They didn't have much room. Well, no, they did have room. Jaylen Warren was really good. He needs more carries. Receivers, C.
I would go even lower than that. Yeah. C minus.
Yeah, I'd go C minus. I mean, Pickens may have caused an interception if you believe what people like Nate Burleson said. And T.O., did you see Terrell Owens accused him of that too? Not running his route there on that pick and therefore not drawing the safety over. Freiermuth, another fumble. Good to target him, but you can't be fumbling twice in three games. Offensive line, F.
F.
defensive line D.
Yeah, I would go with a D as well.
I mean, I would go with a D minus. They stunk. Linebackers, D. I go F.
I would say maybe they were the best part of the defense, if that counts for anything. Yeah, I would say D.
Who in particular? I'm curious to hear this. I thought they were horrible in coverage, too. Mostly in coverage.
Yeah, they weren't great. You know, I always like Peyton Wilson. Every time he's out there, he had four tackles.
He got smoked in coverage now and again.
Yeah, too. If you find a way to maybe give him some more snaps, we knew that Watt probably wasn't going to be his best, and certainly he wasn't.
Yeah, man, I'm going F there. Secondary, is there something lower than an F?
There was guys wide open so frequently in that game, just complete breakdowns. It wasn't like they were just, you know, missing the ball or having guys go up over them. They weren't even covering guys open in the end zone.
Special teams, a D. Ray points out, I think wisely, time for Danny Smith to replace Cordarrelle Patterson. I would say time for Mike Tomlin to step in and replace Cordarrelle Patterson as a kick returner. This whole thing ain't working, okay, with Cordarrelle Patterson. He made a nice catch last week. He did. But this whole thing ain't working. His two returns were for 41 yards total, and they started from the 23 on both drives. Come on.
Boz even got a little lucky, right? That penalty negated what was probably going to be a miss. So, yeah, special teams weren't nearly good enough.
And coaching an F, and, yeah, that's where I started the shows. What jumped out to me yesterday was four guys on a very short week, all preparing for the third game in 11 days. Andy Reid, Mike Tomlin, Steve Spagnuolo, Artie Smith. And, man, it was a disaster. And it was a grotesque coaching mismatch.
Not only is it an F, but they went for it on 4th and 20 when it was down 3 scores. You needed a field goal to get back in the game.
Well, why
they
not
didn't
a field
go
goal?
They didn't go for it on 4th and 2, but then they kept some key defensive guys in after they punted and kind of waved the white flag.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just talking general scheme, and they got crushed. You could tell they were well scouted in just that minimal amount of time. Guys schemed open on so many plays for Kansas City right off the snap. Wide open, had the Steelers confused, Burleson said, with pre-snap motions. Misdirection, the misdirection play at the goal line was beautiful. Just a mismatch. One team looks to be gearing up for another Super Bowl run. The other one gearing down for another first-round playoff loss. That's the way it looks. Things can change fast. I'm gone for a week. I'll talk to you next week. Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers.
Enjoy your
time
away. Happy New Year.